Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
It ain't been Armstrong for nothing.
I came to tell you what Jesus said. Amen. My goodness. My goodness. What a revival. What a time. Do you know this is what it's supposed to look like? This is what it's supposed to be. I thank the Lord that I believe we're finally getting it right. I believe we're finally getting on the right track. I think we're finally moving to the place to where maybe it'll just be like this until Jesus comes to get us and we'll all leave together. Amen. What a glorious night to worship the Lord. Man, I've been singing. I've been stomping my feet, man. You have too. Don't look at me. You have too. But you know, together is how it should be in this awesome revival. You know, we've been preaching about net fishing. And man, I've heard everything about net fishing. Have you? Man, these brothers and sisters, they've taken this scripture and just squeezed every drop out of it, man. And so, you know, I preached the first night. I thought, man, this is going to be fun. So I preached, man, I threw every ball I had, man. You know, and then I sat down and they started preaching. I thought, boy, I never thought of that. You know, and then the next time. Yeah, along about that second night, boy, the Lord started dealing with my heart, man, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But, you know, we've learned how to mend the net and wash the net and cast the net and bring the net to shore. And we've learned how to guard the net. You know, we've talked about we don't worship the net. We worship the one who gave us the net. Amen. We thank the Lord that the net came for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and think about that moment when you got caught in the net. Now, if you don't know me a little bit, I was raised Pentecostal, and the Lord parachuted me into the Baptist church, okay? But when I touched down running. I ain't stopped yet, man. But, you know, thank the Lord for that moment. Think about that moment, that time when you got caught in the net. Thank God for the net. Everything changed. Everything changed. You had no hope. It was over for you until the net came. And praise God, when the net came, he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the master of the sea now controls your life. Amen. Y'all sit down. I ain't preaching yet. Praise the Lord. Think about the anointing, boy, every night, man, the anointing of God just every night as we gathered, you know. And I thank God, I've told, I got to call you Pastor Cole, man, because I'm going to tell you something. You're a good pastor, man, you know. I've told him numerous times this month, you know, how thankful I was that God gave him a vision and he listened. Amen. God gave him a vision and he listened. And, you know, and I'll get to my title in just a minute, but I got to plug it in right here, you see, because I think about all those calls, not the calls that said yes, but all those calls that said no. But you know what? You just decided, Lord, I'm just going to keep fishing anyhow until I... And now you are at the 180th night of revival. Amen. Think about that. Did you ever think you'd be at the 180th night of a revival, man? 6 years, amen? 6 years. And I thought about, and as I thought about that, I got to, you know, after that first night, man, I was just riding high. But from that second night on, I got to thinking, man, I got to preach again sometime, you know? And I got to think about, you know, here I am, boy, country boy, you know, raised around here, not that much education, not that much talent, you know, and you know, standing alongside these giants of the faith, man. Giants of the faith, knowing that I'm the least among them. So what do? I tell you what you do. You go to your knees and you ask God to give you something. Lord, what would you have me to say? What would you have me to do, Lord, to say to your people in this place, Lord? And what I got is what you're about to hear, okay? But I will tell you this, I've prayed for 28 nights for God to give me something else, and he wouldn't do it. So here it is, okay? So buckle up, boys and girls. This may not be the kind of revival meeting you're thinking about, but to God be the glory, and Lord, help me to be faithful. And you see, because the thing of it is, if he's pleased, that's all I want. That's all I want. So our thought for tonight, if we'd have a thought, would be this. We're going to fish anyhow. We're going to fish anyhow. No matter what it costs. No matter where it takes us. No matter what it takes from us. No matter who might not go along with us. No matter who might turn on us, or cast us aside. We're just going to fish anyhow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's the reason why. There is no other plan. God hadn't given us a plan B. This is the plan. He said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. This is the only plan there is. Well, glory. Don't nobody get in the aisle liable to run over you tonight, man. Thank you, Jesus. So I invite you, if you would, to stand. We're going to be reading Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. And those of you that are familiar with this scripture, you know that this is the last one of the Beatitudes. And see, somebody has called these Beatitudes the attitudes that ought to be. Amen? The attitudes that ought to be. I believe they're the keys to the kingdom, and I believe they're the keys to net fishing. Amen? See, the first seven Beatitudes are given in the third person, but the one we're going to look at tonight is different. The repetition, the personalization is different, along with the position of it at the end, you see, and it shows the supreme importance of it, especially to those of us who are going to fish. Who are going to fish anyhow? Amen? Listen to what the Word of God says. I'm reading from the CSB. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice because your reward is great in heaven. For that's how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Father, I pray for your anointing right now, Lord. I pray that you would anoint our ears, you'd anoint my mouth, you'd anoint my heart, Lord, and to hear and listen what you'd have me to say at this time, Father. I thank you for this revival, Lord, and I pray that this revival will continue on, Lord, the spirit of it. Father, until we see you face to face and until we hear well done, help us to keep casting the net until that moment, Lord. Have your way in this place tonight, Lord. We want to leave changed, Father. We want to leave like you'd have us to leave, Lord. We want to go out of here, Lord, with a fire that the devil can't quench, Lord. A fire that they can't beat out of us, Lord. A fire that they can't scare out of us, Lord. A fire that'll take us, Lord, to the lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. I believe we're living in the days just before the Lord's return. You've heard that before, but I believe you can see it in the way that Christians are being persecuted throughout this world. See, but real persecution is strange to us because, you see, we can't relate to it, not only in the lives that we read of the early church disciples, but currently among other Christians throughout the world. Why are the righteous persecuted? Have I ever really been persecuted? And if not, why not? In my study, I found that over 215 million Christians face significant levels of persecution throughout this world right now. It's estimated that more than 1 in 12 Christians live where their faith is either illegal, forbidden, or punished. Millions in over 100 countries are imprisoned for their faith. But you see, in our own country, although we're not openly persecuted, have you noticed that we've become the butt of the joke? We've become the butt of the joke. See, we're the ones that are called naive and simple-minded. We're the ones that are out of touch. You read any article you want to or TV show, and the result is always the same thing. According to this world, we have become the problem. Yet to be honest, that shouldn't surprise us. Because the Bible's tried to prepare us for this all along. In 2 Timothy 3 and 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And I know that some people say that, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm a Christian. I sure don't receive any persecution from anybody at any time. Let me just say this to you, sir or ma'am. Don't think it's because you're doing such a good job of being a Christian. I don't feel the anointing. I ain't scared no more. Doesn't mean we're going to jail, but it could. Doesn't mean they might drag us out of a pulpit, but it could. Doesn't mean they might come at us with guns drawn, but it could. It could happen. But I don't believe that's necessarily what this verse means. I believe it means that we can expect to be overlooked, passed by, ostracized, left out, made fun of consistently for our faith. Listen to me. If you want to be a child of God that never witnesses it, you know, and think that you're fine for that, never takes a stand for Christ, that can be your choice. But let me tell you something. You cannot please God with that approach. You got a fish, man. You got a fish. Try this with me. I'm going to need this after a while. Everybody together say this with me. Fish anyhow. Fish anyhow. All right? We'll come back to that. Fish anyhow. You see, and if I could just turn a quote here. You know, Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon said you're either a missionary or an imposter. Can I turn that phrase just a little bit? You're either a fisherman or you're an imposter. Down through the ages, those that have stood for Christ, they've endured terrible persecution and hardship. We're no better and we're no different. We must be prepared. One pastor suggests there's a number of reasons for that. He said this is the last beatitude. It serves as a test of all the others. See, it's the longest one because it's the hardest to embrace. It's the only beatitude with a command, rejoice and be glad. It's the only one with an explanation. It's the only one where it's repeated twice, blessed. You're doubly blessed when you're persecuted for Christ. Did you know that? It's the only beatitude that's addressed directly to us. The tense changes from blessed are those to blessed are you. See, but here's the thing about it. If we live according to the first seven, number eight's going to be our next move. Amen. That's Bible math, if you will. You know, if you're a person of verses 3-9, verses 10 through 12 are going to be yours. Think about that. If you're poor in spirit, they'll think you're self-righteous. When you mourn over sin, they'll feel convicted, not want to be around you. If you're a meek person, they might run over you. And if you break out of that spiritual status quo and begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll label you a religious fanatic. Did you know that? But let me tell you who a fanatic is for Jesus. That's just somebody who loves Jesus a little bit more than you do. Call me crazy. I'm going to heaven, man. Praise the Lord. You be merciful, they'll tell you you're gullible. You strive to be pure in heart, you'll feel the tension of a world that lives on lust. You strive to be a peacemaker, get ready for war, man. Our faith begins, it develops, it matures when we live out the first seven, but our faith is tested in number eight. Amen? You see, what's hard about this beatitude is we all like to be liked. We all like to be liked. But you see, but once again, it's following Jesus is often like a paradox. It's like a contradiction. He applauds us when we're persecuted. Right. You see, and you think about those that were listening to Jesus that day, Cal. Man, when they heard this right here, they said, what in the world are we going to do with this? And let's be honest, we think the same thing. What are we going to do with this? See, it was a common idea in that day that if you were suffering, including persecution, it was an indication that God was not pleased with you or that something was going on in your life that shouldn't be. And let's be honest, isn't that the way it still is a lot of times? Still that way. It's particularly evident in the book of Job. But see, Jesus reverses this view, and there's some points that need to be talked about here. And if you're keeping up, I just now got to the message. I've been waiting 28 days, man, to get this off me. Being persecuted, it's a given reality. And you know what? That's a shock to us in the day of this prosperity gospel. Think about that. You know, the prosperity gospel, come to Jesus. Everything will turn to roses, man. You know, you're healthy, wealthy, and wise. Just walk that little rosy path all the way till you get to heaven. Nonsense. Little doubt that the first ones he called were fishermen. Why? Fishing's hard work, man. It's hard work. Fishing calls for long days and long nights. I think about these pastors. I know what you go through. I know how many times you stay on your knees for your people because you understand what they're going through and you don't want to see them hurt anymore. You don't want to see them suffer. Fishing's hard work, man. Not only that, but praying for opportunities to fish the next day. Amen. But you see, let me say one more thing about this prosperity gospel. It's a lie straight out of hell. Amen. Jesus never taught a prosperity gospel. He taught a persecution gospel. He never taught a Rolex gospel, okay? He taught it a righteousness and a humbleness gospel. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Righteousness means to live the straight way of Christ. You remember what Jesus said because later on in this same sermon? Because straight's the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. John Stott said we shouldn't be surprised if anti-Christian hostility increases, but rather surprised if it doesn't. Why? Because Jesus said, remember the word I said to you, a servant's not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours also. Jesus told his disciples they'd face incredible struggles. You find it in Matthew 24. But you know what happens when they call you up, when they bring you before them, you know what's going to happen? It's God's going to give you an opportunity to fish anyhow. Fish anyhow. Say it with me, fish anyhow. There you go. Think about what church tradition tells us, that how the disciples fared. James was beheaded. Philip was scourged, thrown into prison, and then crucified. Matthew was slain with a sword. James the less was stoned to death. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Andrew was crucified, left hanging on the cross for 3 days. Peter was crucified. He said, wait a minute, crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord was. Jude was crucified. Bartholomew was beaten with clubs. Thomas was speared to death in Chennai, India. Simon the Zealot was crucified. John was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he died as a prisoner. But you know what? 2 Timothy 3:12 is echoed in Philippians 1:29, for to you it's been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him but to suffer for his sake. When Paul wrote to that young church at Thessalonica, listen to what he told them. He said, no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know we're appointed to this. Look at your neighbor and say, we're appointed to this. We're appointed to this. See, Paul said we told you before that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know it did. Peter, after he witnessed what Christ went through, he later on said this, beloved, don't think it strange concerning that fiery trial, which is to try you, as some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. Rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Why is it going to be so rampant? Why will we be persecuted? I believe there's a number of reasons, but two that I want to talk about tonight. We're going to be persecuted because of the way we live. We just won't stop fishing. I tell you something, this revival is done. I've seen some of the older saints, you know, that have come before me that are still here with us in this revival. And I sit there and I just marvel at them, because you see, they just wouldn't stop fishing. And because they wouldn't stop fishing, guys like me got a chance to hear the gospel. As I tell you, let me encourage you this, don't stop fishing. Somebody out there needs the gospel. They need the net. We need to hold out faithful. We're going to be persecuted because of how we live. We're going to fish anyhow. And when I say this, don't think I'm talking about those that casually follow Christ. I'm not talking about them fair weather guys. They're not here, so we can talk about it. I'm talking about sold out, blood bought, lay their lives down for the sake of the gospel. I'm talking about those worldwide who would and have given their life for the Lord. And because they realize there's more to life than what this world can offer. Amen. I got to be honest with you, preparing for this message, I had to do some serious soul searching. And I told you, I prayed for 28 days for God to give me something else. But here we are. But you know, I said, Lord, I feel so unworthy. Lord, I hope I'd be faithful in the face of torture. I don't know what I do, Lord, to be persecuted in that way. I don't believe any of us would know what we'd do in that moment. But I just hope we wouldn't be ashamed to our Savior. But I got to tell you today, one strong indication that you can look for, that you can measure by, that you would be likely willing to die for Christ, is how are you living for him now? I agree completely with everything we've heard in this revival. One night we heard this at the church. If the church was more different than the world, more people would come to Jesus. If the church is more different than what the majority of it is now, Think about this, millions worldwide risking their lives just to come to service. Just to come to serve. It's a far cry from, you know, from those the Sunday morning Christians who sometimes come, they got the, you know, who know in their hearts right now, I won't be back for another week, and I'm not going to give much thought to what I hear this morning, you know, and don't bother me. Just feed me, praise me, entertain me, don't ask anything from me, and I might come back. But listen, let me tell you what I came to tell you. A faith that won't bring words of witness to you in a land where we have free speech is not likely going to take you through when the persecution comes. If your faith won't get a tithe and offering out of your pocket, I doubt it's going to take you when persecution comes. If your faith can't keep you away from fleshly habits right now, it's likely it ain't going to take you through a lion's den. A faith that doesn't prompt you to obey God in the smallest matters of reading His Word daily and praying until something happens, it's not going to hold up under persecution. Yes, sir. So, David, how do I know if I would die for Christ? How are you living for Him now? Yes, sir. Are you sold out? No turning back. I'm going to fish to the end. I'm going to fish anyhow. Yes, you missed your cue right there. Stay with me. I'm glad I didn't let you preach again tonight, Cal. He asked me, he said, David, can I preach again? I almost do. Think of what Paul said to the Romans. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know what would happen? Sometimes that sacrifice, it would slide a little bit off the fire. And the priest would take the flesh hooks and they'd move it back over the fire. That's what revival does. Let me tell you something. Are you different tonight than you were 30 nights ago? I'm different than I was 30 nights ago. Amen? I'm revived, man. I'm ready to go. Just give me a place to tell somebody about Jesus and give me half an opportunity. You guys can sing, man. And just give me a half an opportunity. That's what revival does. But let's be honest. We feel like we're being persecuted when the power goes off for an hour. Oh, God. And if the internet went down right now for 10 minutes, half of you have a nervous breakdown. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. You say, well, David, I don't think it's going to happen. Let me tell you something. Are we already being called radicals? Are we already being called born-again extremists? Yes, we are. But let me tell you the second reason why we'll be persecuted. Because of the way we love. It's vitally important. Let me tell you, Jesus said in verse 11, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you for my sake. Jesus said it's going to happen to you because of me. Going to happen to you because of me. To be righteous means to be like Jesus. And here's the thing about it. Folks are upset at Jesus, but they can't get to Him. They can just get to you. Don't take it personal. Warren Wiersbe said this, Jesus was different. And a world that thrives on conformity can't tolerate differences. See, but we're to love differently. And the early Christians, they were confronted with a choice, either Caesar or Christ. And those who chose Christ were outlawed, branded as disloyal citizens, and resulting multitude of them losing their lives in some sort of violent ways. And we won't go into that, but I just does bring up a good part. Are we really loving as the church should be? Are we loving as the church should be? You know, one of the reasons why God is blessing this is He has because the church has begun to love like it should. It boggles my mind why every church in this county wouldn't beg to be part of this. He never called me to build my own thing. He's called me to fish anyhow. He's called you to fish anyhow. Amen? Praise the Lord. But what's it going to take? What's it going to take for us to stop talking about color and just talk about the cross. What's it going to take to bring us together and agree on what we agree upon and stop letting the secondary issues separate us as they have? What's it going to take? Notice how he moves from those that are persecuted to more personal when you are persecuted. God applauds you when you're insulted, when you're falsely accused, when you're maligned because of Christ Jesus. Luke 6:22, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Think about this. One of the most famous martyrs ever was Polycarp. He was dragged before the Roman authorities and given the ultimate choice, either sacrifice to Caesar or be burned to death. Here's what he said. 86 years have I served Christ, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? You know who this brother was? He said, I'm just going to fish anyhow. Going to fish anyhow. His final prayer goes like this. O Lord God, Almighty, the Father of thy well-beloved and ever-blessed Jesus, by whom we have received the knowledge of thee, I thank thee that thou hast graciously thought me worthy of this day and this hour. Amen. So many things happen to the people of God. And you know, we'll be maligned. We'll be with false accusations. You know, and I understand it hurts when people say something about you, especially when it's not true. They say things behind our back. They try to stir up rumors and stir up trouble. When they do that, let me tell you something. You're in pretty good company. They deal with Jesus also. I got a couple more things to say. If I hadn't rocked your boat yet, it will. See, the Bible calls persecution a gift or a mark, and I know it's a stretch, but you see, we're blessed. Jesus said you're blessed when people put you down and try to mess with your faith. In Hebrews 11, that roll call of the faith, when you get down to verse 36, said others experienced mockings and scourgings as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. But then comes verse 38. Verse 38 says this, after I've shared all that with you, the world was not worthy of them. Amen. You know why? The world didn't care much for them. Heaven took notice. Everything you're going through, everything that's coming against you, heaven's taking notice. Fish anyhow. They got it. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. They received persecution as an assuring gift that they had a heavenly home. It seems strange in this day when most everybody wants the blessings of God and the goodness of God at a moment's notice, but they're not willing to spend time in prayer and no suffering at all. I got one more and then I'll be done. I heard last night, and I was supposed to say you're closing. But let me just tell you, if that last point messed you up, this is going to bend you over double, man. Persecution brings gladness. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. You read that and some people say, man, beg your pardon, man. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Did you say that? Yes, I did. Not me, but the Lord said that. Be glad. It's a command. It's a command. It literally means this, to leap forth with exuberant gladness, to jump with exceeding excitement. Luke 6:23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner their fathers did to the prophets. And please note, Jesus is not saying be happy over the persecution. Be happy over what it represents. What does it mean? It confirms your relationship to the Lord. See, somebody else has said this, that persecution is a certificate of Christian authenticity. I've been waiting all day to say that word, authenticity. We didn't say that much in Hackberry, praise the Lord, y'all. Some of y'all got that, I understand. But have you ever thought about that? The apostles put in jail for preaching the gospel. Having to face charges. Acts 5 says when they got let go, they rejoiced that they've been counted worthy to suffer for his name. Suffering is our badge of discipleship. Did you know that? And persecution causes reliance. Let me tell you, when you're going through some stuff, nobody will have to suggest to you, have you thought about praying? When you're going through some stuff, nobody have to tell you. You know what you do? You be calling people. Pray for me. I'm going through some stuff, man. I'm dealing with some stuff. Well, you see, it causes reliance on the Lord. Causes us to lean upon Him. And have you noticed something? Every time you lean upon Him, you find Him faithful. But persecution also cultivates righteousness. One of the best ways to grow is through these times. Jesus mentions the persecution that the prophets faced before us. They serve as models for us. But you see, persecution confers a reward. Sometimes when we're suffering, let me tell you the only thing you can do, focus on what you got ahead. Focus on what you got ahead. Keep praying till light breaks through. Amen. Keep praying till light breaks through. It confers a reward. See, toward the end of his life, Paul had every confidence that God was going to release him from his difficulties. 2 Timothy 4:18, he said, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. But then he recognized that God may have other plans, but he says this, but he'll bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. You know what he said? God's either going to deal with this or I get to go home. Keep that in mind, child of God, when you're going through these times, when everything's coming against you. God's either going to bring me through this or I get to go home. So what am I going to do? I'm going to fish anyhow. See, when we're not fishing, we forget who we are. When you forget who you are, then this just becomes something you do. We got to do that because it's Sunday. We got to do it because it's Wednesday night. But when you realize who you are, this is not something we have to do. This is something we get to do and we want to do because this is who we are. We are fishermen. Say that with me. We are fishermen. We have been called to fish, so it doesn't matter what's taking place. We're going to fish anyhow. Y'all getting better. Praise the Lord. See, when we're not fishing, you know what happens? Our testimony gets quiet unless we're in the friendly confines. When you're in the friendly confines, you know, when we've risked speaking out for Jesus, you know, and when we've, when have you been, had to defend the cause of Christ? Have you been identified a Christ follower and turned aside? Every Christian who places Christ first in their life, somewhere at some time, is going to go through some stuff. Have you been made fun of for your faith? Oh, yes. Have you been ignored because those around you think you're too religious? Oh, yes. Have you been judged and condemned by other so-called Christians? Yes. Number of you had to go through sarcasm of some kind because your spouse is not in the faith. I understand that. But let me tell you something. Persecution comes with blessings. Yes. With blessings. It should bring out gladness in us. Because you see, the rewards are worth the risk. They're worth the risk. In the early days of the church, a Christian offended the king because of his preaching. And he said, sire, you cannot banish me, for the world is my king's house. The king said, well, I'll just take all your possessions. He said, sire, you can't confiscate my possessions because my treasures are laid up in heaven. He said, I'm just going to take everybody away. I'm going to take all your friends away. He said, sorry, you can't remove my greatest friend, for he lives inside me. King said, well, I'll just have you killed. He said, sir, let me tell you something. You can take my breath, but you can never take my life, for it is hid in God with Christ Jesus. I'm trying to shut it down, but this is really, praise God. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 8:5. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Some of you are going to go through some stuff tomorrow. You're going to need this. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep for the slaughter. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Lord, we realize you're still in charge. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what I have to go through, Lord. I'm just going to fish anyhow. In good weather, bad weather, we're going to fish anyhow. When they try to keep you away from the water, get there and fish anyhow. When they post a no fishing sign, fish anyhow. Amen. join with some other sold out fishermen and say, we're just going to fish because this is all we know to do. This is the first thing he told us. He said, go and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. We're going to fish until we see you, Jesus. We're going to cast the net. Have you ever thought about the Apostle Paul? I'm trying my best to quit, but God's got a hold of me. You ever thought about the Apostle Paul? Man had to lower him down over a wall, get him out of town right after he started preaching. You know, I can imagine somebody runs up, you know, say, Paul, what do you think about this? You have to sneak out of town. I tell you what, do, son, just hand me a net because I'm going to fish anyhow. Stoned him in the next city, man. Left him for dead. He walked up. Man, Paul, I bet them rocks hurt, man. It does, man. I tell you, but somebody hand me a net. I'm going to fish anyhow. Arrested him, beat him, put him in prison. Laying there with Silas in the middle of the night. What are we going to do? Well, I think we're going to sing, but right after we sing, I believe the Lord's just going to give us a net. We're going to fish anyhow. All the way through the Mamertine prison, when they called him out, they're going to cut his head off. You know, I can just imagine, just my sanctified imagination here for just a second. When they lead him over there, Paul, have you got anything else to say? Yeah, hand somebody else the net so they can fish anyhow. Because I'm... Hallelujah! You've come too late to tell me to stop fishing. My family's lost. Your family's lost. Our friends are lost. This city is lost, man. But it doesn't have to be because God's given us a net and we're going to fish anyhow. Didn't come try to impress you. I'm playing to an audience of one, man. Amen. And if he's pleased with me, that's all I desire, man. But you know what? I want one day when I see the Lord face to face. Have you thought about that moment when you see him face to face? I hear these people say, oh, I got all these questions I'm going to ask Jesus. Let me tell you what's going to happen when you see him face to face. Go fall down and say, Lord, I thank you for the net. I thank you that somebody fished anyhow. Do you want to be a fisherman? Do you want to be a fisherman? It's going to fish anyhow. Those beside you, they might not fish. I'm going to fish anyhow. My friends, they might not fish. I'm going to fish anyhow. I'm not going to give up, Lord. I'm going to keep on casting the net. I'm going to keep on doing what you've called me to do. I'm going to ask you right now, if the Lord's speaking to your heart right now and you want to go all in, all in. Now, don't get me wrong. Here in just a second, I'm going to invite you. If you've never accepted Christ, you need to come forward. You need to come forward right where you are, you see, because God's got a plan for you. God, you know what? Did you know from the foundation of the world, the Lord knew where you would be sitting tonight? And you know what else he knew? The net was coming after you tonight. But I tell you what I'm looking for as we close this revival. I'm looking for some folks who say, Lord, I'm going to fish anyhow. No matter what, no matter what it costs me, if it costs me everything, because everything I have is laid up in glory. Amen? Amen. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen? Stand with me if you would. Bow your head for just a moment. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy. And the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in. Just hold on. Sing it again. Just hold on. One more time. Just hold on. What's going to happen? Our Lord will show up and he'll take you through the fire again. Father, tonight, Lord, I ask for all those that don't know you to come forward, Lord Jesus, right now. I ask, dear Jesus, for all those that have been walking at a guilty distance to come forward right now. I pray for those who have just casually, Lord, thought that they were fishermen to come forward right now. But Father, in this time, I also call for some fishermen who are sold out to Jesus, who have decided that I'm going to fish anyhow. If nobody else fishes, I'm going to fish anyhow. I realize, Lord, that you've called me to cast the net, and I'm going to cast the net, Lord, until you come. Lord, send all those, Lord, that desire you tonight, and all those, Lord, that want to be fishermen, come to this altar now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come now.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.